What a sweet song to sing about our loving God. God is love indeed. We worship and we celebrate a God who gave so much for us that He sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. And we remember that this morning on this Lord's Day. This is His day. This is the first day of the week, as we've recently talked about in some lessons on worship and the church. And we remembered that this is His day. It's His invitation to come and join with Him in worship and in communion as we have gathered around that Lord's table, so to speak, and we've honored and remembered just what God has done for us and His great love. And so we're thankful to be here this morning to worship God. We're also thankful that our country has set this day aside to honor mothers. And so we all, as has already been said, happy Mother's Day. I know we've got some moms here with their family and sons, and we're just so glad you're here and you've got your loved ones maybe with you on this day. I know this can be a difficult day as well for some that have lost their mother, maybe some that have lost a child, or maybe some ladies who weren't able to have children of their own. And we want you to know that we're thinking of you as well on this special day. Here are some things our mothers have taught us. Now, this is old school, okay, so be warned. Our mothers taught us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident, right? Old mothers. Mothers, they taught us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. They teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. They teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Right? Yeah. How about time travel? Did your mother teach you about time travel? If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week. Now, this is old school now. Old school here. So, not very politically correct, I guess, there. No, we understand that. Mothers taught us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. How do you do that? Contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? How about perseverance? You are going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Ah, mothers taught us about genetics. You're just like your father. They teach us about weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. And here's another old school one. Mothers taught us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. I don't know if your mother's ever said anything like that to you. Those have a familiarity to them for me growing up. So our love for our mothers, no matter if your sweet mom is no longer with you on this earth, or if she's here today with you, or if you plan on calling her later, but you know, our love for our mothers, we never grow. This just never grows old, whether we're 2 or whether we're 102. This past week, our brother Lowell Plaster shared with me some poems. He's written a number of poems, and he shared with me a couple of them that he wrote on the occasion of Mother's Day for his mother. And here is one that he wrote back in 1981 for his mother, Vesta Plaster. And she's passed away. But, oh, mother, my mother, the grandest of all, her love always helps me whenever I fall. From childhood to manhood, her love has been my guide, as though she herself had walked close by my side. Now old in her years, but young in her heart, she knows that I love her and have from the start. My mother's so kind and so gentle and pure, her reservation in heaven is made, I am sure. I think that expresses so many of our feelings and for our love for our moms, and for, again, whether maybe your mother has passed away years ago, or you're able to be and see her today, or whatever the occasion, we think about and we honor all those godly, Christian, wonderful, loving moms that taught us about God and lived their lives in front of us, before us, in such a godly way. I think about what Abraham Lincoln said one time when he said, "No man is poor who's had a godly mother." And I think that is so, so true. You know, we think about moms and we think about Mother's Day on a day like this. We're thankful, we're grateful for their love. But have you ever noticed in the Bible that God describes His relationship with us and He uses imagery and terms that are intensely relational? He never comes at us and says that He's our business partner. He doesn't come and say, "I'm your companion," so to speak. He comes at us in very intimate, not casual companion friendships in that regard, but He comes with us at the most with the most intense images. That God is Father. God is like a husband. And you know, those have been given to us to help us better understand the nature of God. But you know, one of the images that we find that is surprising in the Scriptures, maybe you don't think about this image, is that simply God is like a compassionate mother. Now, God is not mother, okay? We do not worship our mother God in that sense this morning. God is always spoken in the personal pronouns He. Jesus taught us to worship and to pray to God our Father. So that's not what I'm saying, of course. That's not what the Scriptures are saying. But that God is like a loving, compassionate mother. See, we have a tendency to kind of only see God in those masculine, that He is like Father, and we can think about God, and maybe some think about God as a teacher, and He's stern, and He disciplines us, and all of those things. But God is like a mother, we see in Scripture as well. It's a beautiful imagery here that we find. Look at these Scriptures from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 49, notice what the prophet says here. In Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 14. "Yet Jerusalem says, 'The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us.' Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins." And then later he used the same imagery of that imagery of a mother in Isaiah 66, verse 12 and 13. "This is what the Lord says, 'I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow into her. Her children will be nursed at her breast, carried in her arms and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child.'" That imagery? Later on in the New Testament, Jesus used a very beautiful picture, and He uses this imagery of a mother, but not a human mother. He uses it in the imagery of a mother hen. He says here in Matthew 23 and verse 37, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." There, the imagery of that mother hen that spreads out her wings and she calls for her chicks to come to her. But He says, "You were unwilling." Jesus says, "That's what I was like a mother hen that's calling her children to her." Again, these verses are incredible because they speak to God sharing the attributes of a mother. Again, there are no verses that tell us that God is a mother, but He is compared to a mother. And so since men and women are both created in the image of God, it should be no surprise that God reflects the attributes of both Father and Mother in His dealings with us. Matthew Henry wrote over 300 years ago, reminding us of God's comfort, and he says, here's how God does it often. "Not with the rational arguments which a prudent father uses, but with the tender affections and compassions of a loving mother." You see, some things never change. Men, we are good at coming and comforting by using reasoning so many times. We want to solve the problem, right? Oh, but what we need sometimes more than anything else is compassion and love. And that's what women have a great tendency to do in so many ways, to be that compassionate love for their children even. And now I've heard one mother said one time, however, it does depend on the day, though, sometimes with my children. But at the core of motherhood is love and compassion for a child. You know, and again, it's just maybe the way we're wired a little bit as men. It's not by accident or coincidence that when something happens in our house, maybe it's an accident or something happens, you know, a lot of times I want to try to figure out, okay, who did it? Dads are all about who did it now? Who broke it? If somebody is hurt, we're thinking, do I have to discipline another child? Did you hurt your brother or your sister? I mean, we're all about that often. But old mom comes in there and, you know, picks up the child that's crying and, you know, and says, just hug on the child. Just love on the child. And, you know, dads, we're trying to figure it out and solve the problem. And again, we see that compassion of a mother, a woman towards a child. And God says, that is how I feel. That is how I am towards my children. He feels that same intense warmth for His children as a mother demonstrates it to her own. And so we know that. Kids, you need to know that this morning. Now listen to me. Your mother loves you. Sometimes you may think she is on your case or she is annoying you or whatever she might do. She's doing it because she loves you. Moms love us. And God is just the same for us. God understands the pain, the hurt. God is like that mother, like that parent who sees a child go astray, who sees a child reject Him. And God, yet God still loves. I love that imagery again in Matthew 23 and verse 37. You know, it's amazing there that Jesus knew, and He knew what Jerusalem's history was, the Israel-Jewish history was, they stoned and they killed the prophets that are sent to her. And yet Jesus says, I know that's what you're going to do to me. And He says that He still, this imagery is like a mother hen calling out for her chicks. Jesus there, in essence, is calling out to the Pharisees. He's calling out to those who wanted to put Him on the cross. And He's saying, I still love you. I've called you like a mother hen calls to her chicks, but you were unwilling. You see, the imagery there is Jesus not coming in as a conquering warrior, but He's like a compassionate, loving mother. You ever see that there? That's incredible there that Jesus comes with that imagery, not in some manly, mighty warrior king. He comes like a mother hen. And He's calling for His children to come to them, gather them under His wings. But He says, you were unwilling. That's what we do in our sin, in our rebellion to God. We reject His loving hand. And so God understands the thankless tasks of trying to win over kids, maybe when they're rebelling. He understands the thousands of sacrifices that moms make for their children. And it reflects upon the ultimate love and compassion and sacrifice that God gives us and Jesus gives us. It's no wonder there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul there speaks that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the Father of all mercy. Oh, friend, if you see God, a lot of the ways we can see God this morning, God is our Father, of course, but this morning, if you don't see and know God as a God of compassion for you, you're not looking in the Scriptures close enough. He's there. He is like a caring, compassionate mother, and He longs to comfort us, to love us. And you know, that is so important when we're going through a struggle, a trial. You know, when we wonder sometimes, God, where are you? God, what's happening to me? Maybe the circumstances of life, maybe things are just surrounding us in trials and tribulations, and maybe death or sickness or financial struggle or family struggles. And again, so many times what we don't need is someone to come and just solve the problems for us. We need someone to come and wrap their arms around us and say, I love you. I care about you. I'm concerned about you. And that's what the Bible says God does. He doesn't solve all of our problems. He doesn't come in and take away all of the hurt and pain and all the difficulties that we go through. But He says, I will comfort you. I will bring my mercy and my love to you. And I will help you in your time. God is like a compassionate mother. But here in Isaiah, though, really the message is also, God has not forgotten. That's the context here in Isaiah 49 and verse 46. Isaiah is living in a time when he is prophesying of a future judgment that God's going to bring on Israel. Over 100 years before it's going to happen, before the southern kingdom of Judah in Jerusalem will be destroyed by the Babylonians, they'll be taken into captivity in 587 BC, the city will be destroyed. Over 100 years before that, see, Isaiah is speaking about this. He's speaking about God is going to discipline His children because of Israel's unfaithfulness. And it was just natural in the midst of this prophecies of judgment for the people to say, well, if God has cast us off, then He's forgotten about us. No, Isaiah says, God hasn't forgotten about you. And I love the imagery there he used in Isaiah 49, back in verse 14 through 16. He says, is it possible for a mother to forget her child? And of course, we hear that and we think of that and we say, you know, naturally, as it's supposed to be, no way. No way would a mother abandon their child. Yet we know it does happen sometimes. We do know that it is a reality for some people. Even on days like this where they think about a mother or maybe a father on Father's Day and they think about, that's not how my mother or father was. Even if a mother were to forget her child, even if the best of moms, even if things were to get so backwards and so reversed that a loving mother, earthly mother, would forget her child, Isaiah's point is God is not like that. He will not abandon His children. Even if we could imagine the best of moms doing that, forgetting their child, God is not going to do that. And that's what the people needed to know. They needed to hear. You and I need to know God. We need to intellectually know. We need to know His Word. But this morning we're saying it's more than just head knowledge. We need to know that God loves us. He will not abandon us. He will not forsake us. And whatever trial and every hardship we may go through, again, He is there with us. He may not calm every storm. He may not remove every trial. He may not remove every burden in our life. But He comes alongside us and He bears it with us. Friend, this morning, church, we have a God who suffered for us and He suffers with us. A suffering God is a God of compassion and mercy. That's the imagery there is what it's saying, is that God is going to be there with us. And notice what He says there in Isaiah 49. He says, here's what God will not forget you. He will not abandon you. Even if a mother were to do that, verse 16 of Isaiah 49, look at this. Even if she may forget her child, I will not forget you. And look what he says in verse 16. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God says, I have put you in the palms of my hands. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. What they were going to go through, the trials, God was going to be right there with His people. I have not forgot you. I have not forsaken you. You may break my heart. You may reject me. You may not love me, but I am going to love you. And that's really what a mom does. She says, I'm going to love my kids when they're good. I'm going to love their kids when they're not so good. I'm going to love their kids when they are a holy terror. Right? How many of moms have been called up by the school? Note sent home, basically to paraphrase, the teacher saying, your child is a nightmare. Do something with your child, please. Anybody ever, moms ever get a kind of a note like that, kind of read like that? Yeah, you have. That's what moms do. They love us even when we're unlovable. And God is saying that's what He'll do for us. He loves us when we're unlovable. He loves us when we are far away from Him. He hasn't forgotten us. Israel was going to go into captivity. They were going to go into a Babylonian captivity, but God says, I'm going to be with you. I love you. I care for you. I've not abandoned you. I'm with you. And the Hebrew writer would later say in Hebrews 13, verse 5, that God will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will always be with us. And again, we could talk about that with our moms this morning. We could talk the whole sermon about that. But I want us to see this morning, ultimately, we're talking about God. We're talking about God our Father who loves us like a mother. And it's a great, great story. You know, we are always inspired by stories of love and compassion and sacrifice of even mothers. Back in World War II, of course, when Nazi Hitler was exterminating the Jewish population, some 12 million people, Jews, lived in Poland and throughout Europe, and the final solution of Hitler was to eradicate them, to annihilate them. And so Jews were rounded up, and they were sent to these camps, these Nazi concentration camps. Some of them so deceived, and they were told they were going to be taken and later on be connected to their family, and they were sent on these trains literally to their death. And over 5 million Jews were murdered during World War II. Over half the Jewish population in Europe. And we think about that, and there are so many stories that come out of that of heroism and sacrifice and love for children, love of fathers, love of mothers. One story is told by a man named Solomon Rosenberg. Solomon Rosenberg, he and his family were arrested, and they were transported to one of these camps. And they came there, and along with their family, they're actually Solomon Rosenberg's his parents, his mother and his father, and they were placed in these concentration camps, very inhumane conditions. They had to work all these hours in unsanitary conditions. They were literally starved in so many ways. And you know, there was one rule in these camps. If you could do the work each day, you would live. You could live. That was always held out there. The minute you cannot do the work each day, you're sent to the death chamber. And so Solomon Rosenberg's parents, who were in their 80s, he saw them march to their death. Because when the day came, they could no longer do the work. Well, Solomon and his wife, they had two children. Their oldest son was Jacob, and their youngest son was David. David was slightly crippled, and he was frail. And so again, the day, the camp rule was, the hard rule was, if you can do the day's work, you can live. When you can't, you're exterminated. And so they always were in fear that, you know, David, the day would come when David couldn't do the work. And so they divided the people into the work duties every day, and the families would be separated. And so they would go out and do the work. And at the end of the day, at the evening, they would come back in the barracks and they would be looking for their family, their loved ones. And especially Solomon Rosenberg and his wife, you know, they're looking for their son David. They're looking for their son Jacob. And when they would see each other at the end of the day, they would just love each other. They would thank God that they survived another day. Well, the day came when David could no longer do the work. And so Solomon came in at the barracks at the end of the day, and he's searching frantically for his son, for both his sons, for his wife, and he can't find them. And finally, he sees Jacob, his oldest, who's huddled in a corner. And he's weeping. And he's crying. And Solomon gets down and he says, "What has happened? Say it's not true. They came for David, didn't they?" And Jacob says, "Papa, yes. David was too weak. He couldn't work. And so they took him." And Solomon says, "Well, where's Mama? Where's Mama? She was still strong." And Jacob says, "Daddy, David was so afraid. He was crying and he was afraid. And so Mama said, 'Don't be afraid. Don't cry.' She said, 'I'll go with you.' And she took his hand and she led him and she went with him to the death chamber so he wouldn't be afraid." We think about that and we think, that's right. That's a mother. That's a compassionate father. That's a parent that would do that. But I'm telling you this morning, God didn't come to us and say, "I know you're afraid. I know you're scared. Hold my hand. I'll take you." No, He said, "I love you. You stay here. I will go to the cross for you." That's what God did for us. God is like a father. God is like a mother. But even if the father or mother that we knew wasn't like that, God says, "I am greater than any father and any mother. I will not abandon my children." Even if the best of moms were to do that, I won't do that. That's who we worship, and that's who we serve today. We honor the God who created us and gave us the love of mothers and fathers. He is our Father, and He loves us like a mother. God is in every way perfect like a father. And God is in every way perfect like a mother. And that's who we sing about. That's who we worship about and praise this morning. Even if those earthly fathers or mothers wasn't what we would have hoped it had been, God says, this is what I'm like. And so this morning, really, what we do as Christians and our response and offering this invitation this morning is really us saying to God, you love me, I want to love you back. And that's what we do when we obey the gospel. We respond out of that love for God that He loved us so much that we want Him and we want nothing but Him. And so this morning we close with the invitation for moms, for fathers, for young, for old, for in between, for married, for single, whatever it might be. You can respond to this God this morning who loves you so much, who gave Jesus on the cross for you. Maybe you need to do that publicly and obeying the gospel, putting Christ on in baptism. Maybe you as a Christian have not been living in the love of God. We're inviting you to come to the foot of the cross, so to speak, to meet our God and our Savior. If we can help you, come as we stand and sing.